Happy forests have biodiversity. So what more could we ask trees to do? If the world gets much hotter, then we all know that the weather extremes will be dire. Someday forests are very combustible. It will be like a funeral pyre. Healthy forests are good for the atmosphere. Healthy forests absorb CO2. Healthy forests help biodiversity. So what could we ask trees to do?
I'm from 3CR. Can you tell me why you've come to the rally today?
Oh, because I support non-logging in the forests. That's why I support, that's why I'm here today.
Yeah, yeah. Do you live in the forest? Are you lucky enough?
We've got a place in the Wombat State Forest, and, well, I don't live there, but I go there frequently, and I was part of a group that defended the town of Blackwood from all the logging coops that were going to be done by the loggers up there in about 2002, I think it was, something like that. Anyhow, we had a big fight and we eventually won. So I'm still here to sort of extend my support to the anti-logging group.
Underline the victory.
Sorry, you're
right. Underline the victory, that it should be a continuous victory, not a continuous fight.
Of course, of course. And, you know, deforestation worldwide is a really big problem, and why in a developed country like Australia that it's allowed is beyond my comprehension. But anyway.
Thank you.
Okay, fine.
G'day, I'm from 3CR.
Hi, 3CR. I'm Angela from Wombat Forest.
Yeah, yeah, tell me about what's going on.
Well, Wombat Forest is where lots of the logging crews and Vic Forest think they can offside while they sort out the other side of the state. So we've got quite a few crews in there logging as best they can with community resistance. So there's none today. Okay.
My name's Alana and I'm Friends of the Earth Forest Campaigner for Victoria. And I just want to say I'm so grateful to each and every one of you for showing up here today on the first sitting day of Parliament to make some noise and send a really clear message to those sitting within the big house that we want to see real action for forests. And this is the year, and we want to see an end to native forest logging. I'd love to give a warm welcome to Sue McKinnon from Kinglake Friends of the Forest, who some of you may know. She's been working very hard with her community group to protect threatened species such as the greater glider. So here we have Sue.
Hey, amazing to see everyone here. As Alana said, I'm Sue McKinnon. I'm fortunate enough to live in Kinglake. I'm right near the Kinglake tall mixed eucalypt species forest, and not far away from Tulangi, beautiful mountain ash forest. I've been in this campaign for 7 years, and finally I'm beginning to realize what Mahatma Gandhi said: first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, and then you win. So right now, Vic Forest is on its knees. It has no social license. It's been found to have been illegally logging, and it's losing money year after year. Last year, it made a loss of $54 million. Over its 18 years, us taxpayers have given Vic Forest our forest for free. We've given Vic Forest $121 million for the privilege of having our forest cut down. And this government is now giving them access to another $50 million to continue to operate this year. So, in the Supreme Court last year, a decision was handed down in what became known as the Gliders case. It was found that Vic Forest is killing greater gliders. And Vic Forest knew that. Their own expert admitted it in court. It was also found that Vic Forest is driving yellow-bellied gliders and greater gliders, both threatened species, towards extinction. It was found that Vic Forest is not looking for greater gliders or yellow-bellied gliders before they log. And it was found that Vic Forest has been logging illegally over the entire of the Central Highlands and East Gippsland. But we knew this. We knew that Vic Forest was logging illegally. And the government up here knew that too. In May 2020, it was handed, the decision in the Friends of Leadbeater Possum versus Vic Forest case was handed down. And in that case, it was found that Vic Forest is breaking state laws. It was a federal court case. It found that Vic Forest had been breaking state logging laws, many of them, including clause 2.2.2.2, which is the precautionary principle. And the government knew this, and the government regulator did nothing. Vic Forest did not change their management, did not change their operations, and yet the government regulator did nothing. It took five community groups took the government to court then. And most of us focused on that clause that I just mentioned, the precautionary principle. I mentioned the precautionary principle because this is a fundamental principle that was brought into Australian laws when Australia signed the Rio Declaration back in 1992. Back then, in the Earth Summit, it was globally became accepted that to be sustainable, you must take precaution to not risk serious or irreversible environmental damage. So for Vic Forest to now have been found to be in breach of this precautionary principle four times now, including widespread logging, means that they cannot call themselves sustainable. And this government cannot accept that they call themselves sustainable, let alone refer to them as sustainable. It also means that any company that's using Vic Forest in their supply chain needs to remove sustainable from their marketing spin. And we need to call this out. And this includes Nippon through their arm Opal Australia. They're taking 85% of Vic Forest, the trees that Vic Forest cut down and removed from the forest. And they may close their white paper line, but they will still take native forest for their packaging lines. They're converting native forest into cardboard. It includes Shep Pellets, who are making 2,700 pellets every day from native forest. That's 500 tonnes of our trees, 500,000 kilograms of our trees every single day. Woolworths, Coles, Aldi, all use Shep pellets. And we need to call this out. They can't call themselves sustainable if their very transport is based on the destruction of our native forest. What do we want?
No logging.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
No logging.
When do we want it?
Now.
I'd love to introduce Robert Purgle, who is from the Dandenong Landcare Network. He's been working really hard with the Victorian National Parks Association to protect the Dandenong Ranges with his community. And without further ado, here's Robert Purgle.
Hello, everyone, today. Firstly, I'd just like to say thank you for everyone coming out today. It's really nice to have such a strong sense of support, show of support from people coming from a range of different backgrounds, including places like Wombat State Forest, the Dandenongs, East Gippsland, all across Victoria. I guess I just want to paint a picture for people because they might not know what's happening at the moment and how things are changing. So we have got a proposal, a scheduled proposal, to log in the Dandenong Ranges National Park. This is completely unprecedented. This is something that we have not seen before. We've spoken to ecologists, we've spoken to people that have a background in this area, and they haven't seen this before. So traditionally they'll do work along fire breaks, opening up tracks, that sort of thing, but this is different. This is broadacre logging that's going to happen up in the Dandenongs. And the context of all this is basically the storms that happened last year on the 8th of June. A lot of people would have heard about the damage that happened up in the Dandenongs, Mount Macedon and Wombat State Forest. So what we've got in the Dandenongs is a lot of storm-damaged timber. We know from the mapping that approximately 300 hectares of the 3,200-hectare Dandenong Ranges National Park was affected. So we're looking at an area of about 10%. And what we know from the Yarra Ranges Council is they've estimated something around about 25,000 trees have fell over during that period of time when we had these intense storms coming from the south and east-facing aspects. And of course, this affected a lot of areas, particularly on the ridges and exposed areas in association with that. So what we did from the perspective, I'm the president of the Southern Dandenongs Landcare Group. What we did is we started monitoring the recovery of these forests. We wanted to know what was happening after the storm damage. And what we were finding is a lot of these forests are recovering naturally. They may need some help and assistance to control things like invasive species, but we think it's completely unjustifiable to go in and start salvage logging. And that is the proposal that we've got here, and that is what we are facing. So what we did is we listened to what was happening in the media. Basically, we had Monique Ryan, the CEO of Vic Forests, doing a flyover in a helicopter, looking at the area of the Dandenong straight after the storm damage. And she was really interested in the timber straight away. But we're interested in that timber becoming part of the habitat of the national park and associated areas. This is an area that should be protected for its conservation values, not an area that should be used for commercial interests of Vic Forest. So we've had several meetings, including a meeting with the then Deputy Premier James Molino when he was still in Parliament here, and he basically indicated his concerns. We've had meetings as well since then with Parks Victoria, DALP, which is now DECA for those people that don't know, and also Forest Fire Management, which is the key proponent of this work, which is FFM. The last meeting that we had in November 2022, Forest Fire Management indicated that they want to remove or have a treatment area of 100 hectares. This is within the Dandenong Ranges National Park. So since then, we've sort of had a bit of a dog chasing its tail conversation as to what actually is going to happen. And their proposal is to do the logging as a way of reducing the fuel, but also a commercial use of logs in a time frame in which they can still use them. So they've got about 2 years from the storms, and then after that 2 year period, the logs won't be usable. So the key thing to remember here is The logs aren't actually the part of the forest that is the fuel load. The fuel load is measured up to things that are about a pencil in thickness. We're talking 6 millimetres in size. The logs are the last things that burn when it comes to bushfires. The fallen trees in this situation, we want them to be protected. We want them to be left in situ because they have formed part of this structurally diverse and complex environment which can be used by a range of different species in this situation. We've got a lot of small mammals and birds that will quite happily take up this environment. So the current proposal, and this is the irony of this, the current proposal is to generate income from the sale of logs to restore the site after they've taken the logs out. But the critical part that we need to remember is you don't trash a site by logging it and then use the funds to protect it. So forest fire management, the proponent of the works, they haven't been transparent and they haven't been forthcoming with information. So what we've basically done is we've gone to the media in an effort to get further answers and an attempt to understand the nature and the extent of the works that are happening. So they've notified us in a meeting in November last year that they intended to start work before Christmas. And without any sort of public consultation involved, it's just absolutely appalling. So we went to The Age, we had an article in The Age with Mickey Perkins, we went to the local paper, got the front page there, and we've also had an interview on 774 with a representative from the VMPA. Because we want to put this issue of the logging in the Dandenong Ranges National Park in the public domain. People need to know about it. There hasn't been public consultation and there isn't information online. So by and large, the community don't know about it. The critical thing here is the community don't want it, the people oppose it, and the environment doesn't need it. So what we are requesting today is people stay up to date with what's happening. Follow our Facebook page, that is the Southern Dandenong's Landcare Group, and also follow the information that's coming out of the Victorian National Parks campaign. We've been working closely with these two organisations. And the critical end message here is that if we start intervening in a way in which that we are going in and logging the Dandenong Ranges National Park, what precedent does that then set if we have storm damage in the future? Do we then have Vic Forest coming back again? It's completely unacceptable in 2023. We're looking at the impact of the compaction to the soil, the changes and modification to the flora, the fauna, the changes in the structurally complex habitat, the diversity of all the species here. This is something that we cannot restore. I work in restoration ecology. This sort of thing takes decades to restore. In this situation, we will end up coming with a very bad outcome. So what we ask people to do today is to sign on to the VMPA petition. And another thing that we want to mention is, as far as we know, these works are driven by the department. They're not, as we understand it, driven by the state government. But the state government needs to be made aware. So our petition is basically an email to the state and federal government, to the environment ministers, to say this is unacceptable and we cannot have logging in a national park and we certainly can't have it from Vic Forest. Thank you.
I'm from Prithia and I was interested in finding out about Ballarat Extinction Rebellion's work defending the Wombat State Forest. Can you tell me what's been going on?
Yeah, so we've been helping out with the Wombat Forest Action Group. The Vic Forest, we first heard a year or two ago that they were starting to do what they were calling salvage operations. We didn't believe it. And we started looking into it and we found out, of course, that it's much more than just salvage. They're enlarging their log landings, they're pulling out, they're cutting down living trees, So as we suspected, this is much more than just salvage clean-up work than what they originally said it was.
Yeah, so how have you gone about dealing with... what's your tactic?
Yeah, so Wombat Action Group are the people who live in the neighbourhood. So one of the first things we did was set up a chat group, so that whenever they heard machinery or saw trucks moving, they could let everybody know. We hooked them up with the Extinction Rebellion people in Ballarat, the XR Ballarat crew, because we've got, you know, extra numbers for them, so we can get a few more people to come out when they need people to be on site in the forest. Also help them out with a bit of social media and media and so forth. But the Wombat Action Group are pretty organised already in that regard. So moral support, a bit of technical aid and some extra numbers when they need some support, and also coming along to events like this in Melbourne today at Parliament House. The more we all work together, well, there's groups involved in the same topics, the more we work together, the stronger we are.
How successful has the tactics been? Because there's been people locking on. I mean, that's a personal... decision by people, very courageous. But how successful has the tactics been?
Yeah, very successful. We had one person lock on last week. That was the first time we've actually done anything like that. Previously, we've just been turning up with banners and signs and things.
It's quite confronting.
Yeah, so escalation time. So we had someone lock on last week, and there's been no work at the site all week last week. Today, as far as we know, there hasn't been any work. As I say, we have people out there, so we know when there's work going on. And the other actions going on around from the other forest groups, such as the court case, all of these things combined, as we're saying before, groups working together, all of these things combined are absolutely going to stop that logging in Wombat Forest. We know very well that Vic Forest had big plans for what they were going to do in the Wombat, and I believe that the opposition that they've got from the locals has made them change their plans. I think they thought they were just going to do a bit of logging. It's a remote area, it's in the country, nobody will notice, but they've absolutely chosen the wrong people to ignore and discount, because the people in Dalesford, the people in Ballarat, all around the Central Highlands, we love our forests. We have to protect them. The remnant forest is very rare. There are endangered species in there, and we just cannot have that being torn up and turned into cardboard to send overseas.
Just as a matter of interest, do you know if the people who are driving the machines, etc., are they locals, or are they bringing them in, work crews from elsewhere?
Yeah, they're a couple of different contractors we've noticed. We've noticed the names on the trucks, on the sides of the trucks, are contractors. Some of them may or may not be local. We had one group of contractors who suddenly packed up and left because we put a complaint into the Office of the Conservation Regulator about this group working in an area, in a coop. And the day after we put the complaint in, the OCR asked to see their permits and paperwork, which they didn't have, so they packed up and left.
So they were opportunists.
Oh, there's a lot of cowboy stuff going on out there. I assume they were employed by Vic Forest to do this work, but did they have their paperwork and permits in place? No, they did not. Let alone an authority to control wildlife, which is what you need if there's going to be any animals in the forest. So even just simple actions of asking to see their paperwork and their permits, Vic Forest is not even doing that. And it's just an outrage. So we've been all over them from the proper channels. People often don't hear about the proper channel stuff we do, because what they see is the exciting stuff, like people locking on that gets on the news. We've been working on this for well over a year now, going through the proper channels, and we keep being ignored. So that's when we start locking on.
Thanks very much.
Happy forests have biodiversity. So what more could we ask trees to do? If the world gets much hotter than we all know, like the weather extremes will be dire. Someday forests are very combustible. It will be like a funeral pyre. Forests are good for the atmosphere. Healthy forests absorb CO2. Healthy forests help biodiversity. So what more could we ask?